This is the live feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Tonight on the live feed, we are joined in studio by Luke Hendrickson. Luke is a country musician from Rochester, Minnesota, and he has just released his first full-length album titled One Night at the Crystal Lounge. Tonight, we get to hear new tracks from the album. There will also be an album release party at the Castle in Rochester this Saturday, February 15th. I'm Bill Stoneberg with Luke Hendrickson on the live feed.
Worth the ride. That Missouri River's flowing deep and wide. South Dakota, how have you been? The last time I saw you, oh, the mess that I got in. I said I wasn't coming back, but I didn't say till when. Now I kinda like to see. They don't sound too bad to me. All I need is me, myself, and my guitar for company. I'll find a little cabin out in the hills and bring a case of wine. I might stumble around, try to find the Wyoming line. I'll do a little of the same, but hope for better results this time.
That was South Dakota by Luke Hendrickson, a country artist from Rochester, Minnesota, and that's from his new album, One Night at the Crystal Lounge, which is out February 15th. And there's an album release party at the Castle in Rochester. Doors open at 7 p.m. for that. It's $12 in advance, $15 at the door. It's an all-ages show. And openers Becky Schlegel and Tate McLean are going to be there as well. Luke, welcome to the show today.
Hey, Bill. Thanks.
Pleasure having you on here. I think I was telling you a little bit before we got started that I think I saw, I don't even know exactly how I found out about you, but I think it was on Facebook, and I think it was that I saw a live video of you playing Half the Shit is the song that I saw in the video. And I was like, I was kind of blown away, so I searched you out and found your Bandcamp and realized you have a new album out, coming out. So, And then I'm looking at your tour schedule and your gigging schedule, and you know, I've spoken to you a few times. I found out you're a husband and father. How the hell do you do all this? It seems like you're a very busy guy. You know, what's life like right now?
Sure, yeah. I mean, we're just figuring out as we go. My wife and I, she's busy. She does. She's involved in the local community theater.
Oh, cool.
I'm busy with this. we just made it work. You know, we're still making it work. Right. Still trying to figure it out. A lot of times I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just doing it.
Right, right.
She's very supportive. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she right. have to be. You know, I'm not. My tour schedule is busy, but you'll notice on there it's a lot of long weekends. Maybe a week here, maybe a week there.
Right.
Get help from my mom, her parents, friends. And the plus is I've been a stay-at-home dad for a while, so I get to, when I'm around, I'm home during the day. You know,
that's cool.
Take them to school and all that stuff. So it's tough sometimes, but we're pretty used to it by now. Right. We're just going with the flow, man.
That's cool. That's really cool. And that's and I think that's important for artists to have a supportive home life and supportive family, you know. And it sounds like you guys are both involved in the arts, so it kind of works out good that way, right? Yeah. So I was going to play a tune, Maggie in the Morning, from your new album, One Night at the Crystal Lounge.
Sure.
Is there a story behind this or anything? This seems like it's kind of personal life kind of story here.
Sure. Well, Maggie is my wife's name,
mm-hmm.
so there's no real confusing who that's about.
Right.
Yeah, I think that was one that, like a lot of these, I think I had maybe just the chorus or something resembling a chorus mm-hmm. that I had written down on some paper, forgot about it for a long time. Or maybe didn't completely forget about it, but thought about it once in a while, went back to it. I thought, you know what? I got to do something with this. And it was just, it ended up bugging me after a while. Well, I think I just had the chorus. I think it was just those eyes. They let me know when I messed up again. Those same eyes are like a blue flowing river. I want to jump right in. I thought, I thought it was too good to just let it sit on the notebook paper.
Right.
And yeah, I think I might've finished that about a year ago. It's hard to say.
Okay.
And, I mean, the story is basically, it's a love song.
Right.
I mean, there's not really too much more to it than that. It's mm-hmm. just, the words that you choose to use.
So. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And does that happen often where you've got an idea, you kind of put it down for a while, come back to it and bam, like, I mean, did it just kind of flow out once you came back to it after a while or?
Several different times it did not.
Okay,
you know,
sure.
But one day it just did.
Nice.
And yes, that does happen quite a bit. I've got scraps of paper and notebooks.
Uh-huh.
That sometimes I pull what's left of my hair out trying to find them because I know I got those couple words written down somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
If that's so it goes,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. Well, here it is. This is Maggie in the Morning from Luke Hendrickson. This is off of his new album called One Night at the Crystal Lounge, coming out February 15th. And here it is, Maggie in the Morning.
It'd be that solitary blue-eyed girl whose smile penetrates the deepest parts of his memory. It's locked away for safekeeping. It's for the times when he sits alone, 'cause when she's there he ain't thinking at all. Her gaze directs the play when the curtains draw. Again, the same eyes are like a blue flowing river. I wanna jump right in. Anytime she's willing, so am I. It don't matter if it's day or night. Maggie in the morning.
hard days, it makes the sweetest days that much sweeter. And all it took was that solitary blue-eyed girl that turned me cynical into a believer of what I thought was just a tired cliche about the power of love. Love, love, I never trusted anyone before, but when she looks at me I know for sure. One taste is all it took and all I want is more. Those eyes, they let me know when I messed up again.
And that was Maggie in the Morning by Luke Hendrickson. That's off of his new album that's coming out. It's called One Night at the Crystal Lounge. And Luke is in the studio with us here today. So, Luke, you know, I was looking at your website, and there's an About Me section. And according to the website, it says you started out as a metal bass player.
True.
So how'd that come about? What inspired you to pick the bass up? You know, what initially got you playing music?
Sure. Always been interested in music my whole life. There was always records playing in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were saying before the interview, Bill's got records along the wall here, and it mm-hmm. Made me kind of think of as a kid. My mom still got the same collection, and I love going down there to play them because
awesome.
It's just it's fun, and it's what's the word?
Like nostalgic.
Kind nostalgic, of.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, I probably asked my mom for a guitar. I know I got one from her for Christmas or a birthday or something when I was about 14.
Mm-hmm.
Just some, you know, some pretty inexpensive used electric guitar.
Right.
Never really did anything with it for whatever reason. I think she taught me a couple chords that she remembered from when mm-hmm. she was younger. It pretty much just sat in the corner and you know, and got stuff spilled on it when I was a stupid kid rustling around in my room.
Right.
And then one day, I think I was about 17, a good friend of mine had told me he had acquired this guitar, so I should come over to his house and jam. Well, I didn't know how to jam,
uh-huh.
but I brought my guitar over to his house anyways, but his guitar looked different than mine. It was a lot longer. It had bigger strings.
Uh-huh.
And that, I was like, what the heck is this thing, you know?
Right.
That was when I first learned about a bass. We traded on the spot.
Oh,
he
wow.
liked mine better. I liked the bass better. We
wow.
just traded, and that was it.
Cool.
And I brought that home, figured out, and I got a little amp with it, I think, and mm-hmm. liked just the sound that just would come through you, you know, go through you.
Right.
The low end. And I started automatically hearing the bass lines in songs, which I had never, probably as a kid, never really thought about. Probably mm-hmm. heard them, but didn't know what it was, didn't care to.
Right.
But I instantly connected with it, and that's when I probably spent many hours every day learning how to play it all by myself. I was a senior in high school, and they had a, I don't know if they still do it, but they had like a senior project
mm-hmm.
that we had to do that was a bit like a third of our grade or something for the last semester type of thing, and I okay. did mine on, I think, the history of rock and roll. But you had nice. To tie a physical project in with it. Uh-huh. Mine was to learn how to play the bass, at least
nice.
Somewhat.
Right.
And so I rushed through the history of rock and roll thing and put out a really D-minus worthy paper on that. Because
right.
all I was doing was playing guitar to the point where mom's coming into my room at 1, 2 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Luke, I love you. I know that you love this, and I'm uh-huh. glad, but you got to get some sleep, you know. And so that was it. I had a friend who sort of tinkered on the drums and his older brother who played guitar. And so we came in for this final test. And we performed, I think, Black Sabbath, Paranoid, and like a CCR, Have You Ever Seen the Rain?
Nice.
In front of like the band teacher and some other teachers.
Right.
And you know, and there were some girls in there clapping. I thought, well, they never really cared about me before. So mm-hmm. that was pretty cool. And that's it. I got, I was heavy into the bass. ended up getting a 5-string bass, getting in really into the heavy metal, hardcore and death metal and stuff, and joined a band in Rochester when I on the MySpace days.
Okay, sure.
I saw this band at a party, in a house party on the back porch one night. Got pretty drunk, went home, followed them on MySpace right away. It was like weeks later they posted that they needed a bass player. So I think I had to have some drinks again to get the courage to even send them a message saying, hey, I could do that. And I went down there. I had long hair and I think, you know, an Iron Maiden shirt or something. And they're right. Like, well, you're our guy.
Cool.
But I had already learned all their songs too.
You know, oh,
I was
nice.
Kind of obsessive like that.
Uh-huh.
So I was called Verge of Collapse, and we did a lot of cool stuff, and that band eventually fizzled out, as things do.
Right.
But yeah, I'm probably rambling here.
No, that's good. That's good though. It's a cool story. You know, it's always I always find it interesting of how people got started, you know, and where they, you know, kind of where they come from and their musical journey and their musical background. It's interesting. I myself started out as a bass player.
Right on.
And the funny thing is we couldn't find a bass player. So I was like, well, I'll do it.
Right.
Well, where are we going to get a bass? I'm like, I'm going to join the jazz band at high in school. So I joined the then school jazz band so I could borrow the bass and take it home. And that's how I started. But I was curious because, you know, when you're, you know, having that in your background, playing bass, does that affect your writing and the way you think about music? Like, do you hear bass lines when you're writing your songs and stuff like that? Or?
Yeah. So, and that's it's kind of funny you asked that because I don't think I realize that it did, but it does.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, like for the most part, in general terms, like country bass,
mm-hmm.
you know, is much different than heavy metal or rock and roll bass.
Right.
Heavy metal especially, because you're basically following the guitar, you know, mm-hmm. in heavy metal. The bass in, for the most part, in country music is very punctuated. It's on the face, boom, boom,
right.
boom, boom, you know. And it really sort of accents. But yeah, so being playing solo for so long once I started singing country,
mm-hmm.
Or the last couple of years anyways, I learned how to hit those root notes, really, really accent them.
Okay.
To give sort of a bassy feel that and give feel. It a groove and keep the beat going rather than just strumming. Just,
right, right.
So that's kind of how I ended up doing that. And now since I've started playing with my guitar player, John, who I met,
mm-hmm.
Playing out all these duo gigs that we do, it helps so much. It helps. Sometimes we're in rooms where we can't hear the best. And
right.
so if I can keep on that root note,
mm-hmm.
that helps him hear. Right. It helps him follow along with his leads and everything. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think it probably did affect my playing a lot.
So where did the transition come from when you were playing like heavy metal bass into singing and playing country?
Sure. Yeah, and it was probably towards the end of our time in Verge of Collapse together. We used to practice at my drummer's house in his basement.
Mm-hmm.
And he had acoustic guitars laying around. And I'm not sure, I don't remember the exact moment, but I always liked... Not always, but at this point, I had been into country music, like old school country music, for mm-hmm. a good probably four or five, 6 years.
Right.
And I'm sure that probably came up occasionally until one time Bobby, my drummer, still a friend of mine, had brought up that his dad played guitar in a local country band for many years, long time ago.
Nice.
And he liked all that old stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
We had never really... talked about it, but we started to with the band. The rest of the guys would leave after practice, and we would sit in the basement and strum, you know, whatever family tradition and
nice.
Whatever we knew at the time.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, "Hey, you sing pretty good. You know, you should do this." And so we started doing it more, and we would have parties out there, campfire.
Uh-huh.
Luke sang, you know, so I did, and just started doing it more and more. And my buddy Rick, who I got a shout out, Rick Ferdinand, he was our merch guy, made all our T-shirts. He was also a promoter guy, him along with this dude, Andy, was like, he was getting, have you heard of Wayne Hancock?
I've heard of him. I have not
Texas
heard of him.
Texas guy.
Yeah.
He was making his merchandise too, his T-shirts okay. and stuff. And he was really, really hardcore troubadour, 300 shows a year.
Ooh.
So Rick started setting up these shows. I think he got them at the Eagles Club in Rochester, and he came to me and said, "Luke, I know you've been doing this country thing in the basement with Bobby and his dad. if you can put a whole band together and put together a half an hour or something, you can open the show for Wayne the Train. I'm like,
nice.
Sweet. Sounds good, you know. Uh-huh. And that's kind of how I've always done everything, which is, sure, let's do it.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what happened. We got my friend Ryan, who was the screamer in our band. Uh-huh. I knew he had a bass background too. So, here, come play some country. And he's like, okay, sure. You know? But got on it, and you could see him smiling right away. He loved it.
Cool.
And we had this friend, Whitney, who drummed for us. So we did this gig. Got a great response, mm-hmm. you know. Looking back, there's a couple videos of that show. Look back, I kind of cringe a little bit, you know.
Well, sure.
That's going on 10 years ago now.
Right.
But, and that's basically how that started. And then from then, he started getting, Wayne Hancock came back a few more times. Whitey Morgan was sort of unknown back then.
Uh-huh.
Brought him to town, played with North Star. We got to open those shows.
Sweet.
Who else? Bob Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Wayne and the Outlaw Carnies was coming through. We got to open those shows.
Nice.
Because we were basically the only band that I knew of, or that any of us knew of, in Rochester anyways, doing like old school country.
Mm-hmm,
and it was all covers at the time.
Uh-huh, sure.
But, yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, let's get back into some tunes. Let's play another song of yours. This one is the first track on the new album. The new album's called One Night at the Crystal Lounge. Comes out February 15th. And this is the first track called Black Hills Boogie. This is Luke Hendrickson with Black Hills Boogie right here on the live feed on KQL.
Town in the hills. Me and the boys, we shoved through that barroom door, and the heads turn without fail. Well, we drank a mite of whiskey and danced with their women. Them boys, they fought us tooth and nail. We got drunk Friday evening, spent the weekend in the county jail. Well, there's some things you just don't mess with, man, like my guitar, my mom, and my dog. Yeah, and these damn good friends that I've had for years will let you know when you are wrong. Yeah, so before you start jawing, boys, you better know that some things are worse than hell. These steel bars ain't nothing that we ain't seen. We always make our out, we're gonna prove everything we say. Come on and join us anytime you want, boys. We'll do this every night and day. Yeah, we're gonna drink ourselves ragged, listen to some Haggard, and boys, don't you be surprised. Yeah, when we drink up all your whiskey and steal away your women, our shameless eyes go pale. Drunk Friday evening, it's a weekend in the county jail. We get
get drunk some Friday evening. Try like hell to stay out of that old county jail.
And that was Black Hills Boogie. That's by Luke Hendrickson. That's from his new album called One Night at the Crystal Lounge. And Luke is in the studio with us today. So, Luke, you know, we're kind of talking about your background and how you got into music in the first place, how you gravitated towards writing country and stuff like that. How about your writing? Like, you know, I mean, I've seen you a couple times now with just you and a guitar player. I've seen you with the full band. Do you write with the band, or do you kind of like come up with the structure of a song and bring it to the band? How does that process work?
So far, every song I've written has been by myself.
Okay.
Yeah. So the band that I currently have was, that was, I recruited them because for some, because I knew I was going to be recording an album,
mm-hmm.
A and B. I think actually that should be B. A was because I got hired to do like an outdoor street dance although the street dance was in June, but I think it was maybe January, February. They approached mm-hmm. me and said, "Hey, can you come do this street dance?" And I'm like, "Well, thank you," because it's down in my home area.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, "Thank you for asking, but I don't have a band. You know, you can't need a band for that." It's like, "Well, we'd really love you to do it." Anyway, so I got my friend Bell back on, Ryan, I call him Bell, back mm-hmm. on board to play bass. I put an ad out for a drummer. So this band is a pretty new thing.
Okay.
So no, I have not collaborated actually with anyone really. Just recently, actually, I just wrote a song, I don't know, maybe last week or the week before, that I had somebody in mind, my friend Ryan Chris out in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent it to him and said, "Hey man, how do you like this? I'd like you to sing on this. Can you write a verse?" So we did. So nice. I'm trying to dip my feet into collaborating.
Right.
Cause honestly, it's not something I'm super comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
I get pretty, possessive or, you know, control of my own stuff.
Right.
And, I see things sort of in a certain way, and mm-hmm. I've got to kind of stick with that.
Yeah.
So hopefully someday I can be trained into collaborating better.
Right, right. Well, collaboration's a different beast, you know. Like you said, you get attached to those tunes and those ideas and the way you want to sure. hear it, you know. So, yeah, definitely. Well, let's go ahead and get back into some more music. This one is the title track from the album. This one's called One Night at the Crystal Lounge. And this one sounds like it sounds like there's a story behind it and maybe a kind of a wild evening or something.
Yeah.
Is there anything like that attached to this tune? Or?
Yeah. No. Yeah, for sure.
It just is what it is? Or?
Well, you know, it is based on a particular evening.
Nice.
I can tell a little bit of it.
Okay.
It was my first out-of-state tour. I was with my buddy Kyle. He's the one who, a lot of credit to you, Kyle, for kind of really talking me into doing this full time.
Mm-hmm.
You should. He's like, "I want to get out." I think it was he had ulterior motives. He wanted to get out to Yellowstone and Big Sky and stuff, and he wanted to take me along with, which I'm glad he did. Right. So he's like, "How about we book this thing? You got a week. I got a week off. Ask your wife if you can get a week off. Let's make it a work trip." And so we did. We booked like nine days, seven shows in 9 days.
Nice.
South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana. And we had an off day, like a Sunday, in Billings.
Mm-hmm.
We thought we're gonna get drunk. We're gonna go bowling. We're gonna screw around.
Right.
We ain't gotta be anywhere till tomorrow. So that's what we did. We checked into this motel. It was a dump. We were already just laughing our butts off about the whole prospect. The town. I'm sorry, Billings. It looked pretty depressing. We found a casino bar. It depressed us even further. We thought, well, that place down the street looks a little better. It was called the Crystal Lounge. Big marquee on the corner lit uh-huh. up. It looked like, all right, that's promising.
Right.
We walked in there. The bartender gal, super friendly, jumped on it. A couple drinks right in front of us. Go to pay for it. Gives us our change. It's like, oh, no, I got both of them. She's like, oh, yeah, that's, I mean, just cheap.
Cool.
It was what we're used to anyways in Rochester.
Right, right, right.
But, yeah, so, I mean, I don't,
just a good old time.
It was
huh?
a good time, and we were there all night. It turned out to be a karaoke bar, which we didn't realize. There was a lot of characters hanging around. I mean, mm-hmm. there was a, what do I talk about in the song? Cowboy hats, obviously, out there.
Right.
There was at one point a booming coal industry, from what I understand, and that was sort of drying up. And some folks looked like they might have had some money and come from that. There was dudes walking. There was a poker room in the back too.
Oh,
so there
yeah,
was people sort of who walking by, look, shady characters.
Uh-huh.
You know, I love shady characters. Right, some people probably think I am one. Walking just straight to the back poker room and then promptly getting kicked out or running out of money or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Dudes with gold teeth. And it was just a good mishmash of people.
Right.
And so we got real silly on booze and other stuff.
Right.
And signed my friend up for karaoke, and much to his chagrin and to his surprise, and went bowling, came back and closed the bar down and fell down in the parking lot on the way back from the Denny's or whatever it was. It was just a good night.
It sounds like a good night.
I said, Kyle, I got to write a song about this. So I did.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That is awesome. And I love the tune too. And it just, it sounds like it was a blast, you know, listening to the
tune. It was.
So, well, heck yeah. Here is One Night at the Crystal Lounge by Luke Hendrickson. This is off his album that's coming out called One Night at the Crystal Lounge. So here it is, One Night at the Crystal Lounge, right here on 89.5 KQAL.
Just spent one night downtown at the Crystal Lounge. It's a place where any trouble you desire's found. Pull up a stool and throw a few dollars down. There's cowboy hats and dreadlocked hair. There's permed grandmothers and coal millionaires. A little trashy but flashy, and it's a mighty fine place to be. There was a Sunday evening, the place it hadn't started humming. The woman at the bar had her drinks on the ready, like she already knew we were coming. $3 bought a beer and a bloody, so I got a couple double rounds of bourbon for my buddy. He did the same for me, and then we started getting funny. Funny 'cause the colors were colliding, splashing neon on the ceiling. Just about lost it at the gold tooth man and the multicolored pimp suit he was wearing. Before we knew it, the place was really hopping. The barrage of crooked faces didn't show no signs of stopping. Dropping cash like it was acid on the back room poker they were playing. Just spent one night downtown at the Crystal Lounge. It's a place where any trouble you desire is found. Pull up a stool and throw a few dollars down. There's cowboy hats and dreadlocked hair. There's permed grandmothers and coal millionaires. A little trashy but flashy, and it's a mighty fine place to be.
One Night at the Crystal Lounge. That's the title track from Luke Hendrickson's new album called One Night at the Crystal Lounge. That comes out February 15th. And there's an album release party in Rochester at the Castle that same day. Doors for that open at 7 p.m., $12 in advance, $15 at the door. Becky Schlegel and Tate McLean are going to be there. Luke is in the studio with us right now. Luke, You want to talk a little bit about the CD release party with Becky Schlegel and Tate McLean? How did you get hooked up with them?
Sure. Let's see. Well, Becky is a fairly well-known name in Rochester and I think in the greater sort of Midwest, like bluegrass country music scene. Mm-hmm. She's recorded a bunch of stuff. I had heard her name and her husband, along with her husband Heath Loy. They actually run a venue right on the outskirts of town. They got a farm out there, and they have this old barn that they converted into a music venue.
Cool.
And I think they're in the process of constantly converting it and upgrading it. Anyways, I have not been there for a show yet, but I did go out there, and they showed me around, and it's a really cool spot. And I've seen videos of some of the shows there, and they're both heavily involved in the bluegrass scene. Her husband's a great banjo picker, and everything too. When I first met her, and she showed me around the barn, we just hit it off. She's very, very kind and sweet, and was, I think she had heard a song of mine and was very complimentary and stuff. And when it came time to do this album, I was thinking about backing vocals. I had her in mind instantly. She's got, she sounds like her, but it's this wispy Alison Krauss type, really, just a really beautiful soft voice that I thought would lend itself really well. And she was happy to do it. Wouldn't let me pay her, you know.
Oh, wow.
She's just super kind. And, cool. I wanted, when I was thinking of this lineup for the album release show, she instantly came to mind. Because I know I already had Tate in my head too, and I thought, well, let's balance this out. Let's get get a female voice in there,
right?
And plus, Tate is very gritty and rough, soulful, but gritty. And I thought, and me, I'm whatever I am, you know. And I thought she would help. So I'm somewhere in the middle, probably. And I thought she would help really balance things out,
right?
And Tate was somebody I just actually met in October. I had seen his name around a little bit. We got hooked up through a promoter guy down in the Kansas City area, who put me up with a show and a room one night. His name is Jim Guthrie. Jim and Vicky, they're on the Honky Tonk Hotel. Mm-hmm. And he got a hold of me and said, "Hey, do you know Tate McLean? He's from Minnesota." I said, "No, I don't. I might have seen the name around." But he's like, "You should know him. You should know each other."
Nice.
Well, I messaged him like right away and said, "Hey, Jim says we got to know each other." So we booked like we lined up four shows together immediately.
Sweet.
It was just a perfect match. I was talking to him on the phone on the way over to do this. I mean, we're keeping in touch. He's a great dude. Great music. We're on the same wavelength, so it seemed right.
Well, I'm looking forward to the show. It sounds like it's going to be fantastic.
Yes, it should be.
Let's play a couple more tunes here. This next one was the first single you released from the new album called "Good with a Gun." Mm-hmm. Now, it's a great tune. Great tune.
Thank you.
And it sounds like a pretty personal story, kind of deep stuff here. You want to tell us a little bit about that, or if you
I
want.
Mean, it's yeah, sure. I mean, it's. It's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, it was a tough time. I mean, I think a lot of people go through something like that. Mm-hmm. Once I think the listeners hear the song, they'll probably pretty much know where it's coming from. I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bad man.
Right.
You know, it was with my ma.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's bits and pieces kind of all put in to make it sound like it's a day in the life of.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a couple different scenarios. I could have probably gone on and on with that, but...
Right.
But sometimes I have a tough time getting through that one. I did when I wrote it.
Yeah.
So that's how I knew it was good.
Right.
But that's one of those where I had half a mind to just keep it, you know, to myself.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think I showed one friend, and they're like, no, they got to hear that. So, yeah, I mean, a couple times live, I've sort of said something about, you know, speaking out about domestic violence and all that stuff. And,
right.
Which... I may continue to do as the mood strikes me, but I think once listeners hear the words to it, they'll probably understand where it's coming from.
Yeah, so. I think so. Maybe we should just let it speak for itself. Yeah. And I will tell you, man, when that came out the first time I heard it, I did have a tear in my eye. So it's a killer song. So here it is. This is "Good with a Gun" from Luke Hendrickson, and this is off his new album called "One Night at the Crystal Lounge."
Thank you.
I'll never forget that day I ran for the shed. There I hid, but I just had to see if sweet Sarah made it, if she'd ran for the field or disappeared into the trees. Well, I was only 11, but I'd heard and seen things a boy of that age can't explain. Eyes glued to the crack in the doorway, I watched that devil beat my poor dog with a chain. Well, I couldn't stand a loser, I'd rather have died. And when I think of that day, well, sometimes I still cry. If I'd been older or bigger, good with a gun, I'd have promised you, Sarah, you'd never hurt anyone. That at night I would dread her cries in the darkness through the vent by my bed. My little sister's sleeping, and I hope she don't wake, 'cause hearing mama crying is more than a little girl can take. We'll walk through the ditches, through the creek in the rain, and slash tires assured an uneasy skate. He revved up his engine as he yelled out her names. That I'd be damned if I was gonna let that bastard hurt my family again. Well, I couldn't stand a loser, I'd rather have died. When I think of that day, well, sometimes I still cry. If I'd been older, bigger, good with a gun, well, I'd have promised you, Mama, you'd never hurt anyone. Well, I couldn't stand a loser, I'd rather die. When I think of those days, well, sometimes I still cry. If I'd been older, bigger, good with a gun, well, I'd have promised you, Mama, you'd never hurt. About doesn't matter, half that I'm thinking about doesn't matter, half that I'm thinking about doesn't matter, half that I'm thinking about, well, it doesn't matter. Get out of your head, girl, you're doing too much thinking. Get a hold of your best girlfriends, have a good old night out drinking. Head downtown, shrug off those clowns, you notice what they're thinking, and your problems, they're an illusion now, so just spend the whole night singing. Half the shit I'm thinking about doesn't matter, half the shit I'm thinking about doesn't matter, half the shit I'm thinking about.
head, boy, those thoughts are occupying precious space inside your brain. Don't waste your time, cause it's flying. She loves you and you love her too, and you know there's no denying. So she said some things and made you cry, but just save those tears for dying. Cause half the shit you're thinking about doesn't matter, and half the shit you're thinking about doesn't matter, and half the shit you're thinking about doesn't matter. I bet half the shit you're thinking about, doesn't matter. Half shit I'm thinking about doesn't matter. Half shit I'm thinking about doesn't matter.
And that was Half the Shit I'm Thinking About Doesn't Matter. That's by Luke Hendrickson, and that's from his latest album, One Night at the Crystal Lounge. It'll be out February 15th. And before that, we heard Good With a Gun off the same album, and Luke is in the studio with us today. So, Luke, this tune, you know, it's obviously we've censored it for the radio, but this was, I believe this was the first tune I heard, like I said earlier. I think I saw a live video of it, and I don't know if it was on Facebook or YouTube, but I was instantly hooked, you know, the chorus. Oh, yeah. And it's honestly, man, like when I hear it, and now when I play it, I immediately want to sing along, like right away as you start singing.
Hell,
and
yeah.
To me, that's a mark of a great song. And it's so funny because it's not FCC friendly because of the word in there.
Yeah.
And, but I don't know if that matters anymore today, because it almost seems like streaming is taking over, mm-hmm. you know, as the way people listen to music. What are your thoughts on that? Like radio versus, and you don't have to be nice to us just because we're on the radio right now, but what do you think about that? Streaming versus radio and releasing stuff, you know, and do you have to, does it even matter anymore whether you say in the title or not? You know, I mean,
well, if that's what the song is and calls for, I'm just going to do it.
Right.
I mean, I'm fairly new to really the radio and streaming game mm-hmm. myself, from being on this side of it anyways.
Right.
But I do think, well, I mean, here, I'm not trying to get big, so mm-hmm. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about that. I have enough other songs. If I want to get it, you know, try to push some radio play mm-hmm. with you guys and everything,
right.
then I can give you a different song. Right. I recorded that song because that's the way it turned out. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. I like it. So there you go. Streaming, I think, does make it easier for new people to find you. As far as the explicit lyrics, I mean, if you look on like Spotify, there's just a little E next to it.
Right.
What's that to stop you from listening to it anyways?
Yeah.
You know, that's just to cover their butts, you know, put the E there. We mm-hmm. warned you.
Yeah.
On the radio, you can censor it, which, like I said, good, you know, good kudos for trying to censor that one, because it's the whole chorus. but yeah, I'm not going to censor myself. If somebody else is going to censor me, well, that's, you know, because they have to or because they want to, whatever, that's... Mm-hmm. It's out of my hands.
Right, right. Well, I appreciate you letting us play that one, because we have to censor it to air it, I just couldn't leave it out. You know, it's so catchy, and I want people to hear that, because I'm looking forward to, like I said, I've seen you with the band before live, but I don't think I've seen you play that tune. I'm not sure if I did or not. And if I did, I can't wait to hear it again. You know, I can't wait to see that live with a crowd and everything. You know,
well, I will not censor myself.
All right. Fantastic. Looking forward to it. Anyway, we're talking to Luke Hendrickson here. He's got a new album coming out February 15th called One Night at the Crystal Lounge. And there is also an album release party February 15th. Doors open at 7 p.m. That's at the Castle in Rochester. It's $12 in advance, $15 at the door. It's an all-ages show. And openers Becky Schlegel and Tate McLean will be there as well. Really looking forward to the show, man. How about if people can't get there, where can they find out about where you're playing and stuff? What's the best avenue? Like sure. Facebook or website?
Yeah, so Facebook is great for just general updates.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge difference in what you can see on the desktop version versus the mobile version.
Right.
So unfortunately, the mobile app, which is what most people are on, I think, on their phones, doesn't really show the schedule from bands in town. So what I do is I have a Bands in Town, which nice. I think most people probably know about that.
Yeah,
it's an app,
yep.
And you can select artists that you want to follow, push the track, and it'll give you notifications when they're playing in your area. So that's right. My whole schedule is on Bands in Town.
Awesome.
Which is also on my website, LukeHendricksonMusic.com.
Okay.
Which I'll admit is pretty minimalistic in what is on there, and I should update that, but you know, so many hours in the day.
I don't know. I prefer minimalistic, to tell you the truth, when it comes to stuff like that, man.
Well, I just need to update.
Easy
it
to navigate.
Stuff.
Easy to find. Yeah.
But yeah. So if you go to my website, the whole schedule is there. It's just imported from Bands in Town. But you can also click on the Bands in Town tab, like this. I think it's the like this, or the horns.
Oh yeah.
I think the blue horns that are. You can click on that, and it'll take you to Bands in Town. You can track me.
Cool.
So that is where my full schedule is at. Of course, Facebook, you can come for the actual event, like you find the event pages
right.
and all that.
Yep.